It is the Sunday after our national election for president. It is the Sunday after Reformation Sunday, that great event in history that brought about the Protestant truth. So we say, with these two great events past, we say, what now? Or in the words of Francis Schaeffer's book, how then shall we live? My conviction is this: we stand. We do not compromise truth. We stand firm in the truth of our convictions. The basic text we'll use today is Ephesians 6, chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. So if you want to get out your Bibles and look at that passage, we'll consider the truths revealed here. Now let's bow for prayer. Our God, as we come to you in prayer together, we thank you for being holy. Thank you for being our holy Lord God Almighty. Thank you for being perfect. Thank you that with you there is no mar or blemish. Thank you that we have utmost respect and reverence for you because you are holy, that you are without anything that would detract from your holiness. We worship you. We also pray now that you will be pleased to bless the study of this passage of Scripture, and that the Holy Spirit will apply it to our hearts, and we will stand firm in our spiritual convictions. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the cunning of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now, considering the event of the election, the political realm and the spiritual realm tie together. There has never been such an emphasis on spiritual matters or Christian truth as we have had in this election, where even the word evangelicalism has been used. Now, what is the cry now in this political realm? The losers are calling for compromise. Give up on your convictions that won the election. Now the winners must stand firm. They must hold the values and the convictions that won the election. They must not give in or compromise with the truth they believed and the reason they voted as they did. They must stand firm and not give in to the cry and call for unity. Now, unity is good, but the truth is we do not believe alike. We have differing convictions, and we dare not compromise those convictions politically or spiritually. We must stand firm and not compromise. That is the call for how we should now live our lives. Now, in the spiritual realm, the same thing is true. There were spiritual issues in this campaign, moral issues. And now the call from those who were defeated in the election is the call for compromise. And what are some of the issues? One is to give up on God. We don't need God or want God in our national life. Give it up. Give up on Bible truth. Join us in the religion of tolerance. Join us in the religion of relativism. There is no absolute truth. There is no standard. It's what we believe in our own experience, and we believe, and that is what we call truth. Give up on God, give up on the Bible, give up on Christ. The mention of Jesus Christ publicly is divisive, and therefore it is an abrasive thing to speak of Christ. After all, there are many good religions, and to dwell on him and to say that he is the only Savior and that he is God is something we cannot tolerate in our society. And then they say, compromise on homosexuality. After all, it's simply the right of people to do as they please, and we have no right to impose our standards upon them. Give up on same-sex marriage. After all, these people have a right to live as they please. Give it up. Compromise. Let's come together so we will no longer be divided. We must stand firm. They say, give up on your prejudice and bias against abortion. After all, it's a woman's right to choose. Yet our conviction says that it is not a woman's right to choose murder. Some people are crying about 1,000 lives lost in Iraq. What about the million lives a year lost in abortion? At conception, there is a life, and that life is a person. And to take that life is murder. And yet we are called upon to compromise that conviction. You're biased, you're prejudiced. It is a woman's right to choose. Now, what do we learn from this passage? As we study the scripture and attempt to find out what is really contained in the text, we sometimes look for words that are repeated. And there is one word that stands out in this passage, and I've just used it. It's the word stand. We find it four times. Stand against the wile or the cunning of the devil. Stand against evil. Now, what does it mean to stand? It means no compromise. It means to take a position and set yourself in that position based upon truth. I think of baseball, a shortstop. A shortstop takes a stance, a stand, and he has to be ready. In football, you see the linebacker. And he has a stance and he is ready. And he won't be moved out of that position. In tennis, the person to receive a serve has to take a position. We need to take our Christian position and stand for truth. Now you may say, Bill, how do we do that? Well, we have an answer in the passage. How do we take our spiritual stance today? Put on the whole armor of God. Now, what is that whole armor of God? Now it's spelled out in this passage in special ways, but I want to cover it with just one statement. The full armor of God is His sovereign power. We take upon ourselves His strength, His might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That is the way we take our stand. We don't do this in our own strength. We are unable to stand against the devil in our own strength. We are unable to stand against the pull and tug of the world, of our culture and society. We can only do this in the full armor of God, which is His sovereign power. Now, I see in this passage just two points as we think about standing without compromise. First of all, for defense. Verses 10 through 13. And we'll pick it up at verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now, we have an enemy. And we are to stand against the evil of the enemy. And it's not a wrestling just with mere human flesh. It's against the evil powers of satanic programs. We stand for defense. And then in verses 13, we are told how to do this. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your waist with girded with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, we stand against evil with truth. Truth is our defense. Sometimes I ask people, what is the most important thing about the church? And they say unity. Or some may say love. And I say no. The most important thing about the church is truth. We must be girded with truth, because if we don't have truth, we have a lie. We have error. We have falsehood. And truth is the power of putting on the whole armor of God. In verse 16, we also have faith. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So, in our defense now, we have truth, which is powerful. We have faith. Faith in our Lord God Almighty. The strength of the Lord, His sovereign power. We believe in Him. We trust in Him. And as much as there may be opposition to Christianity, an opposition to the Bible, we know this: God is not going away. He will not give in to the compromise. He will not give in to the calls that are against Him. God will not compromise, and we must not compromise. How shall we live today? We take our stand. Stand firm, therefore. Now, there's not only defense, there is offense. We go on. We live. We have a reason to live. And we live with this faith. And in verse 17, we learn, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, God has not left us without a way to penetrate our society and our culture with truth. And what He has given us is His own sword. A sword is a mighty weapon. It pierces and stabs. And what God has given us is His own word, the Word of God. Never underestimate the power of the Word of God. It is the sword of the Spirit. Notice, of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who is God. This is His word, and He uses it for His own purpose. And we must remember it is the sword of the Spirit. It's not our own sword. It's not our opinions, not our theories, not our philosophies. It is the sword of the Spirit. So, another way we live is to stand in depending upon the Holy Spirit. We cannot confront Satan, our world, our society, or our culture in our own strength. We do this in depending upon the Holy Spirit. Now, why should I bother or take the time to deliver or proclaim a message, why should you take the time to listen? What effect can it have? It can have no effect whatsoever unless the Holy Spirit takes this truth off the page and into our life, and we depend on Him to do it. And He has given us His marvelous word for offensive purposes. The second thing Paul mentions here is in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. What a marvelous, gracious God we have that would allow a sinful, rebellious, renegade person such as me and you to come into His presence and have audience with Him, that He would pay any attention to us, and that He would hear us, and that He would answer us. And He has invited us to pray, to call upon Him. Supplication is crying out to God. And I'm convinced that that's what many Christians did in this election. There was a cry out to God. Prayer, what a wonderful privilege. And what is it really? Well, and it's an expression of dependence. Lord God, there are many things in our life we don't have the ability to confront. We don't have the ability to control. And we need You and we want You. And we cry out to You. And we have God as our offense. Thirdly, we have the matter of witness. Verse 19, Paul says, pray for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains or in prison, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. How shall we live? We stand. We pray. And we bear witness to the truth. We make known the truth of our convictions. And we let our world and our nation know those convictions. And we don't hold back. And we don't allow ourselves to be intimidated by those who are promoting evil. And I was thinking, if I was in the presence of some of the people in the entertainment world who are so bent on not only tearing up our nation, but bent on promoting immoral, sinful, evil things, I would say to that person, you know, I understand your conviction. I understand why you believe what you do and why you're trying to do what you're doing. It is because you're expressing your nature. Your nature is a sin nature. Your nature is not toward God. It's away from God. And it's only natural in your sin nature to want to take God out of our nation, to get rid of the Bible, to get rid of Christ, and have the freedom to express your own immorality. I understand that. You just have one problem. You're wrong. You're dead wrong. You are not going to get rid of God or Christian people, and we will bear witness to the truths we believe boldly. And Paul calls upon us to join him. Paul is in prison. And he is not saying, pray for me that I may be delivered. Pray for me that I may have comfort in this prison cell. What is he praying for? He is praying for boldness to witness. His concern is to make known his convictions about the glorious gospel. How do we live? We stand. No compromise. No, none. Not at all. This is our position. This is our call. For defense and offense. With the sword of the Spirit, with prayer, and by bearing witness, we fulfill our role as we live our Christian life. Lord God Almighty, thank you for not leaving us in confusion, but giving us truth and power and purpose. We pray now that you enable your people around the world and across this nation, up and down this state, and in our own local area, to stand for truth without compromise. May your holy name be glorified, may Christ be exalted, and may we depend upon the Holy Spirit as we live. In Jesus' name, amen.